one-size-fits-all mandates that require all schools to make smaller classes and then, as a result, not be able to do other things, I think that's a big mistake. And on the other hand, we should, you know, give schools the flexibility to implement the policies that make the most sense for them.
This is At Brookings, a weekly in-depth look at issues behind the news. This week, student achievement. Does classroom size matter?
Many school districts have been forced to tighten their budgets, leading some to ask whether cost-saving measures are affecting how well children learn. And as some educators consider the economic and academic impact of larger class sizes, the question becomes, is student achievement lower when the class size is bigger? Fellow Matthew Chingas examines the issue, saying there's no one-size-fits-all solution.
Matt, over the years, there have been a number of studies looking at class size and student achievement. So what's the verdict?
The research is really mixed. As I mentioned, there's a study from Tennessee in the 80s showing the classes of 15 in grades K to 3 did better than the classes of 22. There are studies of these large-scale policies in Florida and California showing these multi-billion dollar policies had a much smaller effect or in some cases no effect. And there's other good studies showing that class size really didn't make much of a difference. You can also look historically. If you look over the last couple of decades, the number of kids per teacher has gone down, right? The average class size has gone down quite a bit over the last couple of decades because people like smaller classes. But you look at test scores over the same period of time, and they've really been very flat. So if there really is a big benefit of smaller classes, it's what we've been doing for the last couple of decades, and it doesn't appear to have gotten us very much. So it's not that it makes no difference, but it doesn't make that much of a difference, and certainly not in comparison to what it costs to do it.
All right, then. So cost really is a factor, as we all know. And these days, so many school districts are having a hard time making ends meet. So when they're looking at their bottom line, one of the things they think about doing to save money is to have bigger classrooms, because bigger classrooms cost less.
States are being hit hard. They're having to cut their education budgets, or they're not getting the big increases every year that they had seen in most of the last couple of decades. So some have responded by increasing their class sizes. There's a lot of sort of anecdotes out there, scary things about class sizes of 40 or 50, and of course you do want to prevent that from happening. But really, systematically, that's not happening. So it's a couple kids per class, you know, in some places. And one thing that's really important is not just the number of kids in the class, but how you go about implementing those increases in class size. So if you're going to increase your class size, that means you don't have the money to pay all your teachers. So you have to lay some teachers off. If you just pick some teachers at random, or you pick all your new teachers and you lay them off, that's probably going to hurt kids because they're going to have, you know, slightly larger classes. But if instead you use it as an opportunity to target your least effective teachers, you could actually have student achievement improve because kids have slightly larger classes, but the quality of the average teacher goes up because you use that opportunity to remove your least effective teachers. So it actually could be an opportunity to do something good.
And what about the children? Because there are studies that show that there are certain student populations that actually do better when classes are really small.
There's some good evidence about the early grades, and within the early grades, there's evidence that the students who benefit the most are those from traditionally underrepresented minority groups and from families, lower-income families. So once again, if you're going to go for smaller classes, you want to focus the resources on where they make the biggest difference.
Well, then why is it, when you talk about making classroom instruction, you know, more effective, that the size of the class is always a consideration?
I think it's likely the case that smaller classes provide opportunities for increased student achievement. And that might explain why in some research we see that those opportunities are realized and students learn more in smaller classes. But there are other very good studies where students don't learn any more in smaller classes. So it could be that when we provide this opportunity, some teachers will take it up, perhaps because they have training or something else, whereas in other opportunities, that opportunity won't be realized. Class size reduction is undoubtedly one of the most popular policies. You know, teachers love it because they feel like they can reach every child better, and to be frank, it's less work for them if you have fewer kids in the classroom, you know, easier classroom to manage. Teachers' organizations, you know, the unions that represent teachers, they love it because smaller classes mean more teachers, mean more members of teachers' unions. Parents love it because they feel that their children are getting more individualized attention. So there's no doubt that it's an extremely popular policy. That's why, you know, it's been adopted in so many schools in so many states. So right, when there's more money to be spent on schools, and a lot of times that's where it ends up going. Whether that's the best use of those limited dollars, is unclear.
You've argued before that a one-size-fits-all approach won't work So there must be a number of variables that a school district should consider before it just systematically makes its classes bigger or smaller.
It's definitely not the case that smaller classes are always better, or at least better enough to warrant the huge additional investment of resources. I mean, so one example, I mean, you really have to go back to all these trade-offs. If money grew on trees, sure, some fewer kids in the class, that would be a nice thing to do. But then there's other things you can't do as a result. So if you're going to go for smaller classes, you might have to axe your arts program. You might have to cut your extracurriculars. Or you can't pay your teachers as much. I mean, that's sort of the simple math there. You can have more teachers and pay them less, or you can have fewer teachers and pay them more. So, and these are big numbers. If you want to reduce your class size by 5 kids, that's $10,000 less you probably have to pay each teacher. And these are big, large amounts of money involved.
Well, what about parents? Do they have a role in saying how large or how small a classroom should be?
Parents who can afford to choose where to live or could afford to send their child to a private school, they have the choice of a school, and they might factor in the class size in deciding where to send their child. Parents who are also voters, who elect representatives who make policy, make education policy. They elect school boards who manage schools. So parents absolutely have a vital role to play. In a way, these are democratic institutions that have to represent, you know, the interests of the people in these communities. And as I mentioned before, it's extremely popular with some of the most vocal, prominent interests, right? The teachers that educate students and the parents of the students. This is what they think they like. So I think in a way, perhaps they need to learn more about not just about the research, but really about the trade-offs.
Well, look down the road for me, if you would, Matthew. How is classroom instruction going to change, and will the size or the number of students in each classroom really matter that much?
Looking ahead, we also don't want to box ourselves in terms of just thinking about the number of kids per teacher. As schools start to adopt more technologies and, you know, turn a little bit towards virtual education, digital education to educate students, we have to start thinking differently about the number of students per class. Because in the current world, the education technology, in the old sense of the word, is, you know, a teacher and some materials and kids in a classroom. Whereas in the future, it's going to be moving towards, you know, kids with in front of computers where the teacher is serving more as a coach. So in that case, we could imagine that being an opportunity to have, you know, kids learning a lot and having it targeted to them in a really individualized way through software, but still having, on one hand, more interaction with a teacher, individualized interaction, because the teacher knows exactly what the kid knows and can target their instruction better. And also, we could have larger classes, because now more of the instruction is being delivered through the technology, so you don't need as much time for a teacher to spend, you know, face-to-face with students.
Stay up to date with the latest research, learn about Brookings events, and search our directory of experts, all from your mobile device. To download Brookings for your BlackBerry, Android, iPhone, or iPad, go to brookings.edu/mobile.